Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Our current guest is musician Matthew Nelson, one half of the famous Nelson twin sons of rock and roll legend Ricky Nelson, and grandson of entertainment icons Ozzie and Harriet Nelson. Matthew and his brother Gunnar perform as the band Nelson. When Matthew and Gunnar first hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart with Can't Live Without Your Love and Affection, which they wrote and performed, it landed them into the Guinness Book of World Record as the only family in entertainment history with three generations of number one hit makers. Thank you for joining us, Matthew.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being on the phone with you.
The album After the Rain. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, the release of that album and the success of it was at the time when grunge and Seattle music started to emerge on the scene. Did that genre impact your music or your album or your style at all?
Well, I think that genre actually, it was the largest paradigm shift in music history. It affected everybody. Absolutely. Gunnar and I had, we were kind of the bookends on the whole what we call confidence rock era. You know, we had hard rock, but pop hits that were on pop radio. And ironically enough, Nirvana, which spearheaded that entire grunge movement, was signed to the offshoot label of Geffen we were signed to. So not only did it close the door on us in a lot of ways just with musical taste in general, but at our own record label. So we had to get smart real quick, and it was a pretty rough road. We spent a lot of time overseas and reinventing ourselves, and just out of kind of the desperation of the moment, we started one of the first independent rock music labels called Stone Canyon Records, which is what we've been releasing records on ever since. And it's kept us working and, more importantly, servicing our fans through the years and the changes. And here we are 20 years later, and it's not so unhip to be us anymore. It's kind of come around full circle, and kids are getting into guitar music with Rock Band and things like that. And, you know, people that were fans of ours from 20 years ago have kids that they're bringing to the show. So we're having a really great time. And, you know, we haven't stopped making records. It's not like we stopped recording in 20 years ago. But
now, I don't know how intimate you were growing up with your father's music career. You and your brother have gone through 20 years minimum of a career. Could you explain to me, as somebody from an independent label, what your opinion is on what's happened from when you started understanding the business of music up till the current moment? Because we've gone through social networking, we've gone through internet, we've gone through venue changes of profit sharing, etc. Maybe if you could comment a few words on that.
Well, everything has changed. The one thing that stays constant is, I think, is something that's real truth, is in our business, it really comes down to a hit song. It's a song-oriented business above anything. There's so many differences from when we started and now. I can't even – it would take us hours. I mean, something as simple as when we used to send out a letter to our fan club, it cost us $35,000 in postage for every mailing. And now it's as easy as hitting a keystroke on a computer, and it's instant. So that kind of – that's a real asset to people like us, especially that are doing it independently. And for music fans in general, what it does, though, unfortunately, is there's a trade-off. You know, kids nowadays tend to not pay for the music they're listening to. So music has really become a commercial for the band, and, you know, you go out and you see them play live.
I agree with that, by the way. I really do.
Yeah, and one thing that's good for us, I mean, the one bad thing, well, we have to go there. The good thing for us is we love traveling, and more importantly, we're really capable of playing live. We love to play live. That's how we had to prove ourselves before. We never really were because we were sons of, we always felt that we were almost guilty until proven innocent. We had to be, we couldn't learn on the job, if you will. You know, mm-hmm. We started playing clubs at a very young age. And so for us, you know, we haven't really changed our path, but the business has definitely changed around us.
As you were growing up, you were the son of famous Ricky Nelson and grandson of Ozzie and Harriet. I'd like to ask you a personal question, if I could, about where you were or how you found out about your father's passing. I mean, it, to me, it seems like there was a lot less mediums, and your father being as famous as he was, I have these visions of you finding out from a news anchor as opposed to the traditional ways. And back in the 80s, I think that would probably be a little bit unusual. Could you maybe talk to me a little bit about that?
Well, let's just say this. I found out about it on the car radio. And
okay.
I was actually supposed to be on the plane with my brother. And,
oh, wow.
You know, we were living with my dad. I was 18 years old. So we, you know, we knew each other very well. And I was, you know, yet another question. I was extremely aware of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew all about the songs, who wrote what. I'm pretty much a walking dictionary of what he did. But more importantly, he was just a great guy. And it was New Year's Eve. And for whatever reason, he told us if we wanted to go with him or whatever, that we'd probably have to meet him in Dallas. He had a couple of smaller shows to play, and he was going to meet us there on his private plane. And we just decided that we would wait for him to get back, because the whole point was to spend time with him. And I just kind of get a feeling now that he knew something was going to go on, but I was in the car, and they were playing a couple of his songs, and I never put it together. I just thought, wow, I can't believe this. The local rock station is playing some of my dad's stuff. It wasn't the oldies station. And the disc jockey came on after the last tones of Garden Party, and he was choked up, and he said, this has been a tribute to Rick Nelson, who was killed today, along with his entire band, in a plane crash in Dallas. And I was with a girl at the time, and she grabbed me and said, it can't be true, and all I remember was running out of the car and passing out. And the thing is, I call it now like it's a football game. I can't really think about anything more horrible than experiencing something like that. My brother found out, yes, from a news anchor.
Hmm.
And it's been a love-hate relationship with the media ever since. I mean, we understand it's a necessary evil that we have to deal with, but for whatever reason, they didn't give us the not only the benefit of letting us know through discreet channels, but after he passed away, they were completely unfair to him. And there were so many things that came up about what caused the plane crash. And unfortunately, since there was a settlement with the aircraft company that improperly maintained the plane and caused the crash, we couldn't say anything as a family. It was part of the settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took a lot of lumps that he didn't need to take. The NTSB report came out, of course, saying what happened, which is a gasoline heater caught on fire mid-flight. And the media didn't really want to cover that because it wasn't as salacious as, you know, what they were reporting. So, you know, here we are 25 years after his passing, and it still feels fresh to me. It's like I say in the show, I still feel like he's out on the road and I'm waiting for him to come home.
To kind of expand on what you said a little bit about how the media handled it afterwards with the love-hate relationship. As a child, I remember, and I don't remember which news anchor it was, but they kind of put their fist down and said that I won't have it. I know this man. He's a good man. And I won't continue on with this. Did you ever hear about that, or did you know that?
I actually was watching it. I watched it, and I believe it was Dan Rather. It was amazing. I was there. I was watching it happen. This is after 2.5 weeks of him just getting creamed in the media. And Dan Rather, I believe it was, put his fist down and said, I won't be a part of this. This is irresponsible journalism. It's not.
And that was Matthew Nelson of the Nelson Brothers. Want to mention he's playing in Minot, North Dakota, October 1st at the Norse Coos Fest. For more information, visit our website, buildingthebakken.com. And we have the full-length interview as well as linked-up information.
And that concludes this edition of Building the Bakken. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For past shows, articles, and information about our sponsors here at Building the Bakken, visit our website at buildingthebakken.com. Want to remind you as well, we are available on iTunes, so feel free to check out past shows through the iTunes app as well. In addition to Building the Bakken Radio, I'm also a featured writer for a variety of publications across the Upper Midwest and within the oil industry. I'd like to mention a feature story that I've penned for the Bismarck Tribune's Bakken Breakout magazine that documents the relationship between ag and energy. Look for the latest copy of the Bakken Breakout magazine and our Building the Bakken article featuring the relationship between ag and energy. From the staff at Building the Bakken, we're asking you to make it a safe and sensational day. I'm your host, Jason Spies. Thank you for listening to Building the Bakken.
Jack, gonna jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now?